Well, to consider the Eilenberg-Moore category for a pair of adjoint functors over set and try to explicitly, or as possible as explicit, to compute the algebras may lead to some interesting results. I'll discuss an example here, and I found it especially interesting when you start with something from functional analysis. The first to do this was Semadeni around 1970, who looked at Banach spaces and looked at the unit ball functor and tried to compute the Eilenberg-Moore algebras for this adjoint situation. Now, in the present context, I will also look at a category of Banach spaces, which is closely related to the notion of convex sets. Now, convex sets were introduced by Minkowski and Brunn around 1900 and are a fundamental notion in many parts of mathematics. And, well, at first they were extensively investigated by geometry, by geometrical means, by applying differential geometry and analysis, in the case that they are were in a finite dimensional real space. The infinite dimensional space entered later into investigation, mostly in connection with topological vector spaces. There were several authors who tried to get some structure theorems on convex sets in infinite dimensional vector spaces, which had no structure besides the vector space structure. But we'll come to this in due course. Now, to start with this, let's look at a diagram, which is always fashionable with category theorists. And let's look at this diagram. In order to understand it, I have to introduce a notion, the notion of a base normed linear space. All linear spaces here in this context will be considered real because we are looking at the space of a usual convexity. So the category of base norm vector spaces is just the linear spaces which are ordered by a cone. You see it here, closed and proper and generating. And the important notion in this respect is the base. The base is, so you can imagine the base is sort of a vertical section of the ordering cone in order to have a geometric image in your mind. And the norm in this case is, demanded that it is the norm introduced by this base, and it's called a base norm. Well, morphisms are defined in the usual sense, just compatible with the structure, and here is enough to demand that a base is mapped into a base to ensure that they are, in particular, linear contractions. And in the following, as a technical notion, conf M for some subset M of a real space denotes the convex hull or closure. Now, this sort of, oh here, this explains essentially the left side of this diagram. And you see, this functor here, base, is nothing but mapping each such a space to its base to set. And the left adjoint to this is well known and nothing new. It's sort of a finite L1 space, or if you take the notion of Bourbaki, R to the X in space of all the functions of finite support and with the L1 norm. Now, the right side is something which has to do with convexity. I mean, this whole diagram describes an Eilenberg-Moore situation. And the category I am describing now on the right side is just the category of Eilenberg-Moore algebras to this adjoint situation on the left. And it is a slight and very canonical generalization of the notion of a convex set. You just omit that the set you consider is a subset of a linear space. Everything else you keep, and if you write it down a little formally, you just introduce something, a set of omega C to the N of N every convex operations, and then the union of them all, which sort of is the abstract notion of a finite convex operation. And a convex module is intuitively nothing but an abstract set admitting these operations, and you write this down formally. You may do this by a mu C, and then in order to remind you of the model example, you write this mu C of some alpha hat X as a sum, as a formal sum, and what you demand is, of course, what you have in a convex subset of a real space. This is a sort of defining equation, so what you get is a category of equationally defined algebras. And it's clear how you introduce the notion of a morphism, just compatible with all these convex operations. Now, this gives you a category of convex sets, equationally convex modules, I call them, and the convex sets, of course, form a full subcategory. So just to have some more concrete picture in your mind, you may think of convex sets. But in order to get all the Eilenberg-Mu algebras, you have to take the more general notion of a convex modules. The reason is very simple. If you take just the full category of convex sets, it's not closed under coequalizers. Now, the forgetful functor U mapping any convex module to its underlying set is clear. F is the left adjoint, and here you have the connection with the classical case, because the left adjoint is, of course, the composite of the left adjoint to BS, and the BS hat, which is just the base of the ordering cone considered as a convex set, just the lifted BS vertically. And it's not difficult by looking at the monads. So any convex module is a quotient of a convex set, of the free convex set generated by a set X. You could also introduce it this way, but it's of course not very canonical. And it's not very difficult computing the monads and see that these actually are equal. So actually you have here the category of Eilenberg-Mu algebras with the convex modules on the right side. The comparison functor, the canonical, is this BS, the hat, BS hat. And of course you know, if you have such a situation, that in many cases, and in this case it is clear that this has a left adjoint. Okay, so now the category of convex modules is very nice, has very nice properties. It is an autonomous category in the sense of Linton, has tensor product and everything you could expect. Actually, if you look at it and see to which sort of category it's most closely related, you get the impression it is very close related to a category of modules, because almost anything you can do in modules, almost, you can do there too. So it's very close, but it's not abelian, it's not semi-abelian, it's not even Malchow. Well, it's not difficult to prove this, what I call the theorem here, that this actually are the Eilenberg-Mu algebras of this special kind of vector spaces, base-normed linear spaces, which play an important role in functional analysis because they form one part of a duality. The other part of the duality are the unit-normed vector spaces. Okay, now, as I said in the beginning, quite a number of authors tried. They had the feeling, if I have a convex set in an infinite dimensional linear space without any additional structure, they had the feeling, well, there should be some structure theory, perhaps. I mean, especially if this set is not only convex, but is closed under countably convex combinations, then it should have some structure, metric structure or topological structure. And so they introduced semi-metrics and distance functions. Sometimes they demanded that it has a topology very closely related to a locally convex topology in order to be able to embed them into a linear space which has similar properties. Now this Ironberg-Moore construction shows a way to do this and to do this canonically. Now let us first look at what I would like to call the metric structure of a convex module. You see the existence of the left adjoint S here is, you can prove this several ways. The easiest way is just to realize that the category of base normed linear spaces or vector spaces has co-equalizers. So you know a left adjoint S exists. But in order to use it to look a little closer at the right side category and connection to the left side, you would like a little more explicit description of the left adjoint. And what you can do is you can use a method which has been used by Zemadeni around the middle of the 60s, and then later on and independently by Kleisley and Quincy in the 70s, namely construct this S as sort of a double dual. And this is what I will do here, or describe here. It is simply you take a convex module, an abstract convex module, and look at the bounded affine mappings to the real numbers. This is a linear space with the supremum norm. It's even a Banach space, has a unit norm, which is here sort of described by a misprint, because here you had to have the real numbers. It's missing. And the constant, the order unit, is just this one sub C, which maps anything to one. And this supremum norm is the order unit norm. So this is exactly something which has a dual, according to this well-known duality theory in functional analysis. The dual is a base-normed Banach space even. And that's very easy to see. And what you have the point evaluation, which gives you a canonical mapping, T tau C from C to the this dual space, F prime sub infinity of C. And this mapping is affine. It preserves convex combinations. And in order to get S of C, the left adjoint, you do not take the whole space, but just the space generated by R plus times T C of C minus the negative. This means this tau C of C is the base of the ordering cone. It's not difficult to see that this actually has base properties. And now you call the restriction sigma C, the co-restriction, to be precise. And you get the front adjunction, which is the last proposition on the right side. And this is the construction which proves to be very useful. Now, several distance functions or semi-metrics have been introduced by different authors. As it turns out, the canonical one in our context here, compared with the Ironberg-Moore structure, is the one introduced by Gadda in 73. Gadda discussed abstract metric sets, as he called them, in connection with quantum physics, and introduced this distance function, where you see the definition up there. It's a semi-metric and has, in addition, this nice property makes it compatible with the convex combinations. And also, it has a property, like all the other semi-metrics too, introduced for Klein-Hilbert semi-metrics and part metric, that the morphisms in the category conf are contractions. Well, and now some notions I will need for formulating some results. A convex module is called separated if it is separated by its, what could say, linear functionals in the category conf. It's metric if this distance function or semi-metric, if I call this a metric, and complete if it is complete in this metric. And what you see here now is the characterization of a convex module being metric, having a metric structure with connection or with relation to this Banach space based on the linear spaces, excuse me. And these are the four equivalent statements which characterize metric convex modules. And if you look at them closely and compare them with former results, they answer some questions which had remained open since then. And if it is complete, you may introduce infinite convex combinations by this definition. This is well defined, and these introduce definition of an infinitely countably convex combination satisfies the same defining equations we had at the beginning for convex combinations. So you could introduce, and this actually is done, the notion of a countably convex module, or as I call them, superconvex module. The whole theory which I describe yet now is a continuation or extension of a theory which Röhrl and I picked up of Semardeni, and we wrote several papers on it for the case of the unit ball functor. Well, when you have this metric structure, you can of course look, say, well, how do I characterize the complete, the subcategory of complete convex modules? And you see it here in the theorem. The full subcategory of complete convex modules is reflective, and the reflection is given by the restriction of the sigma C1. And the category is equivalent to the category of the base norm Banach spaces. So if you call a complete base norm linear space a Banach space, you have a category of Banach spaces, and you even have a comparison functor at a similar diagram from the convex modules to the base norm Banach spaces. I can even write it down, so for those of you who are interested, it's very easy because it's a very slight modification from the definition of S1, but quite interesting. You define this as R plus, and then not the tau C, but the superconvex or countably convex hull of tau CC minus the negative. This turns out to be a Banach space and even a base norm Banach space. So this characterizes the complex convex modules. And by the way, a similar analogous theorem is true for superconvex modules. You can sort of either come to superconvex or countably convex modules via this construction, or start with it, and then you get a completely analogous theorem. Now the question for topological structure of convex modules or convex sets, this was the origin, can be especially well motivated because there are several other semi-metrics which are not compatible with this Eilenberg-Mohr construction, but nonetheless give topologies. The Klein-Hilbert semi-metric, the Harnack-Part semi-metric, and discrete also, of course. Then this topology here, so you have several canonical topology connected with any convex modules, many cases, of course, trivial. And you may ask, well, now what about the topological structure? Now, one observation is very helpful. You see it here in the last two lines. If you have a base norm vector space, sometimes it has an additional structure given by an additional locally convex topology. And if this additional locally convex topology fulfills some conditions, it is called a Sachs space. So this is the definition of a Sachs space, and it is completed here. It means that the base is closed and bounded in this additional locally convex topology. And the morphisms are defined as, well, the same kind of morphisms as in the case of base-normed linear spaces, with the additional requirement that they are continuous when restricted and co-restricted to the basis. Continuous with respect to the topologies on the basis, the additional topologies. And now to this corresponds the very canonical definition of a topological convex module. You just demand that you have a topology, and then the operations are continuous with respect to this topology. And then you sort of may repeat the whole process, or may lift the whole process, and go from the base norm vector spaces to the base norm sex spaces. The one always denotes just that all the morphisms are contractions. And on the other side, from the convex modules to the topological convex modules with the corresponding morphisms. And then what you get is you get lifted comparison functors. Here's something missing. The hat is missing. So you see, as we all know, even after many proofreadings, there are always some mistakes left, which is quite reassuring, even in automated programs. And this diagram does not commute, not if you take the S1s. And so what you get as a result, as a final result, or let's say for this lecture, as a final result on the topological side, is that if you look at the subcategory of the compact convex modules, well, these are just modules with a topology and compact in it, then this is a reflective one, and this is and the next two, next statement is the equivalence of compact and characterization of C compact, then of C separated, and the there are two other properties, as you can read there, I think. And the last statement I just tell you, I forgot to write it down, but it's probably the statement most satisfying with respect to this second statement here, namely this: when if you look at the category subcategory of compact convex modules, is equivalent as a category to the category of compact Banach spaces, you may say, because any compact base-norm space is a Banach space. Thank you.